Hello, everyone. I'm John Melke. Welcome to Parkside Today. My guests this week are Brandon Rook from Carthage College and Lee Colony from Gateway Technical College. Lee is Gateway's Manager of Communications and Media Relations. He works with media professionals locally and nationally as they tell the Gateway story. He also is a writer for the college, creating news releases and writing stories on students, staff, and events of the college. Lee has been with Gateway since 2007, and prior to Gateway, he spent 18 years as a journalist, working with daily newspapers as a reporter and editor. Brandon has been the public relations manager at Carthage College since October 2018. Before Carthage, Brandon was an award-winning television reporter for Today's TMJ4 in Milwaukee. His journalism career has also taken him to markets in both Alabama and Tennessee. At Carthage, Brandon is responsible for designing and executing public relations campaigns to increase awareness of Carthage College locally, regionally, and nationally. Brandon holds a bachelor's degree from Alcorn State University and a master's degree in journalism from the University of Mississippi's Meek School of Journalism. Gentlemen, welcome to Parkside Today.
Hello, John. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us, John.
This will be fun, I think. So both of you have been kind of, quote, the media, and now you're working with the media. How does your past experience come into play in your current responsibilities? And I don't care who wants to kick it off. Brandon's going to kick it off.
I think it's been a smooth transition for me. Just being on the other side, I kind of, you know, connected with PR professionals and, mm-hmm. People who helped me with story ideas and sources and things like that. And I took the best from the best of them. Mm-hmm. So when I, came into this new role, I said, I'll be like this person by doing that, by following up on emails. I'll be this person by being proactive. Mm-hmm. So I kind of took the best from each PR professional throughout my career in Wisconsin, Alabama, and Tennessee, mm-hmm. and kind of have turned it into, my role at Carthage as far as helping the media and connecting with the media.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. I guess I'd say similarly, to myself, being in the media where deadlines are king. I mean, you have typically more than one deadline a day. I think that was one of the things that I brought over too, is that sense of immediacy and urgency. Like, the media needs this information now. Mm-hmm. So I sort of know what they need to, to make sure that they're successful in their coverage of Gateway. Whether that be, do we have photos to go along with that story? Do we have somebody to speak to go along with that story? Making sure, the deadline's at 2. We're going to make sure to get something to you at 2.
Sure.
And just as Brandon had said, the public relations people that I, looked up to were those who were always honest and always transparent. Mm-hmm. And I try to be both in my job as well.
Mm-hmm. Brandon, what was it about Carthage that attracted you to come out of the media world and come into the PR world at Carthage?
Well, I was looking for a transition into the PR world. I was looking something, better lifestyle. Mm. I feel like, being a journalist, it's a lot. It's a hustle and bustle. Mm-hmm. So I kind of wanted something to more aligned with my lifestyle and what I wanted out of life. And education, higher education has been something near and dear to me. I'm a first generation college student, so mm-hmm. I kind of enjoyed my years at both Alcorn State and Mississippi and Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. It's something that comes natural to me as far as just being in that campus environment. So Carthage, they created this position. This is a position that hasn't been held before. Mm-hmm. And all thanks to my VP of Marketing and Communications, Christine Sani. She took a shot on me. Really didn't have, that professional, PR experience. But, I did work as a journalist for 5 years. So, those skills do cross over.
Sure, sure. And kind of a question that a little bit of a follow-up to the first one. While you were in the media, what were some of the things that you appreciated from PR professionals that helped you do your job?
Definitely transparency. Even if, we had a request and, you know, they couldn't get that person or that information to us, at least saying, no, we can't provide that for you right now, or, you know, we don't have it at this moment. That transparency really, I appreciated it, because the news never stops. So if that one story were to fall through, you know, we always have plan B, plan C, plan D. Mm-hmm. So when you get that transparency of a no, or we can't provide you that information, at least we can make a decision if we need to move on to another story or not. So I really appreciated that. And of course, I really loved those PR professionals who, you know, got back to you quick. Like if you called them and had a request and they got back to you within the next hour. And like what Lee was saying, those who, you know, add a little twist on it, those, you know, who can provide photos and provide video and kind of just, you know, have everything set up for you to make your job that much easier.
Sure. Sure. And Lee, what brought you to Gateway? What was it that about Gateway that made Lee Colony said, I want to go to Gateway?
Well, you know, I was working in newspapers at the Waukesha Freeman at the time, and I did like my job, and I loved my staff. We had a very strong journalism staff at that point, but sort of, you know, like Brandon, I was at that point in my life that I sort of needed a change. You know, my son was getting older. I wanted to be a leader in a scout group. I wanted to see him play baseball. The media is a great profession, and really and truly, it is one that you have to have a full heart to be in, because you feel like, you know, many times you are the last form of defense for democracy, to be truthful about it. You're the ones that are saying, hey, you know, this meeting is public, that information is public, you know, you're the questioner. But with that comes a cost, which sometimes are 50, 60-hour work weeks. So not that I don't work hard now or like my job now, but it was a point that I wanted to move on. And you know, I had considered public relations. What brought me to Gateway specifically is, okay, here's a little story. Sorry, put a quarter in me, you're going to get $5. So my dad was in the trades. And, you know, I grew up with my father talking about the value of apprenticeship and the value of a technical education. So even though I am a four-year college graduate out of UW-Oshkosh, you know, I sort of had that sort of put in me early that, you know, there is an extremely successful path that you can take through technical colleges. I knew there was an opening at Gateway. I'd heard great things about Gateway. You know, my first boss at the time was, she impressed me. Our current president was a president at the time, Brian Albrecht, Stephanie Skilba. So everyone who I interacted with there just impressed me from the very first moment that I spoke to them, and I felt like, you know, this is a place that I really want to work at.
Yeah. And Brandon, on your side, from being in television, where television, I hope I'm not speaking incorrectly here, but television is, the people who are on TV media, they're looked at a little bit differently, right? They come on the TV, whether it's Vince in the morning or Charles Benson or whomever, it's maybe it's the fact that yet you're seeing that person's face versus a writer who you see the byline, but you may not know. You could bump into that person on the street and may not know who that is. But when you see some of these folks who today are starting their work day at, you know, 4:30 or 5 in the morning, and they're out standing in a snowstorm, and then they're standing in a snowstorm at noon, and they're at something in the, I mean, the time must have been just nuts. Doing
yes.
That job, right?
Yes to all.
Yes to all.
And you said 4:30, 5:30. They actually start their day at the shift is 3:30, so I guess you got to get up at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Meaning you got to go to bed at 6:30, 7 o'clock p.m.
Right.
You know, so it's definitely a lifestyle, you know, that you got to love, like Lee said, to do that on a constant basis, stand in those snowstorms, rainstorms, floods, heat, you know, Summerfest coverage. It's a lot. You're in a lot of conditions.
Right.
You know, it's a rewarding career. It was a rewarding job. But it's definitely a lot that comes with it. You know, you definitely have to be on your P's and Q's at all times.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure. It was fun. Had some good times.
Good. And even though your career is a little bit shorter so far, because you're you're a younger person and starting your career, but how do you think media has changed over the past maybe 10 years or so? It's definitely different than it was. Maybe it's the fact that staffs continue to get smaller, especially on the print side. I mean, they're tremendously smaller than they used to be. But in your perspective, either one of you, how has media changed recently?
I think that the media now, in a sense, has had to become a little bit of a jack of all trades. Whereas in the past, you might have somebody who might just write that story. Now they will show up at an event with a camera, of which they might take photos at the event.
Right.
And they might shoot video at that event. And they're responsible for all three of those things by 2 o'clock. Like, whereas before, you know, if you were an afternoon, and maybe I'm speaking out of turn, but I think TV as well, you know, you went for that afternoon newscast, you went for that afternoon deadline or the morning deadline, and that was your deadline. Mm-hmm. Now, with the immediacy of the internet, these are things that as soon as you get them, you need to somehow produce them even a little bit and get them out there for the public. You know, you still may have an ultimate deadline later on in the afternoon, but, you know, again, it's not just writing. It's, you know, it's taking photos, it's videotaping, it's all of those things sort of combined into one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can agree with what Lee had to say. So I started college 2008, around the recession, and, you know, just throughout my matriculation, you know, I was being trained that, you know, my first job that I would be a one-man band, MMJ, multimedia journalist, which basically means you write, shoot, and edit, you know, your stories and things like that. But, you know, that conversation was just for the first job. Like, this, like, everyone's doing it in these smaller markets. But, you know, I got that first job, got the second job. I'm doing the same thing at the second job. And then, you know, I get to this Milwaukee market. You know, I finally become a reporter after 3 years. You know, the first 3 years I was a one-man band. This third job in at TMJ4, I was finally a reporter. But at my station, we still had MMJs. At the other competing stations, there were MMJs. And even in my search, so there was a period of time when I was still looking at PR, but I was still looking to continue my career. And I was looking at those bigger markets, New York, Washington, D.C., Houston, Los Angeles, and there were still MMJs. So the business has changed a lot. A lot of consolidation to save money. You know, like Lee said, the internet, social media is a big part of the job because that's where people are getting their news, you know? So you have to have a presence on there. You have to be a personality. You have to show your personality along with tell the news because that's just, you know, what people like. They like to click and like things and comment on things.
Right.
So
you
have to have a presence. So that's really a big part of the TV industry is, you know, social media and like memes and like polls and things like that.
Well, not to pick on anyone in particular, but I'll pick on someone. And a few weeks ago, Michelle London, who is a reporter for Spectrum One News, right? Not Spectrum News One. I always get the one and the news confused which way it goes.
I think it's News One.
News One. So Michelle comes to campus to do a story on our SC Johnson Integrated Science Lab and the hemp testing lab that's coming online June 3. And what I expected was here would come Michelle, the reporter. Here would come Michelle's camera person. Nope. Here comes Michelle, and Michelle's got her tripod, and Michelle's got her camera, and did a really nice job. You know, she did a great job with the story. And I thought, boy, you know, that's got to be a, I don't want to say tough, but I was trying to think of why, with all of the media that's there between in the Milwaukee market, 4, 6, 12, 58, how Spectrum, you know, sees itself being able to break into that market, that wouldn't be an easy thing to break into.
Yeah, I'm not sure how it all works with Spectrum because they're cable news. So I'm not sure if they're in the same ratings bracket as the other local TV stations, and their news kind of runs 24 hours as well.
Yeah, right.
Lots of taped news. So that could be a good thing and a bad thing, I guess. I think it's pros and cons to both. But it is tough. You mentioned it looked tough, but it is tough because on top of, you know, Michelle, you know, carrying all that, you know, she has to look the par as well.
Right.
And, you know, whatever the conditions are out there. So,
yeah,
you know, kudos to all of the journalists, print, radio, and television that are, you know, doing their thing.
Yeah.
I just want to add, I think it also has changed the role and duties of people in PR, too. So as you're working with that only one reporter, you know, it helps them out if you know a little bit about, okay, so, you know, when you come in to do that story, you know, let's make sure that there's a classroom set up, that there's students in there for your B-roll.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or, you know, to make sure that, you know, even just, well, the lighting in this room is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's really bad, you know, do you need us to change things out?
Right.
You know, so, you know, I think it sort of, it helps, or excuse me, it sort of changed our view in terms of, you know, you're not going to have that professional photographer or videographer who's going to come in, who's going to be walking around setting all those things up. And Brandon, tell me if I'm wrong. You're going to have to help them a little bit as well if you can.
Right.
Along
right.
those lines. Yeah. Or even if you have a staff photographer, a photographer can't come, your staff photographer might have photos that they might be able to use at that point too. So what you're thinking about when you're working with a reporter, I think, has changed a little bit too in the last 10 years.
Yeah. What and so you're kind of touching on, I think, touching on it a little bit, but the internet, social media, I mean, social media to me is like this huge change in how reporters, I mean, the number of times you'll hear today, if you go and start watching news, and somebody will say, well, today on Twitter, so-and-so said, but as you get to the point where the reporter goes, I've got to follow Twitter, because if I don't, I might miss something that someone, whether it be a movie star, sports celebrity, news person, has put out there. You're paying attention to so many different things, and you don't have time to say, well, now this story will hit right at 5 o'clock, and we'll put this out there. 2:30 in the afternoon, Twitter's on it, Facebook's on it, somebody's on it, and how that immediacy of it has changed the business.
Yeah, that was a big part of my job when I was on the other side, when I was a reporter. I feel like a lot of my sources, a lot of the story ideas that I got were from social media, whether it be from Facebook groups or people just posting statuses. You know, you'd be surprised how much you can find on social media, what people talk about and things like that. So, I mean, I think that was, besides just, you know, building real relationships with people like at the grocery store, barbershop, or just from other stories, a lot of the story ideas that I got was from social media.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big part of what I'm doing currently. Like, you know, everything that we kind of do, we kind of get it on social, you know.
Right.
Because right. I know that reporters are following us, and, you know, newspapers and radio stations and TV stations, they're looking at us. So, you know, instead of the traditional press release, sometimes you don't have to do a press release for everything. You kind of just, you know, do something on social media and they'll pick it up, or they'll see it and then they'll contact us.
Yeah. How has it changed what you do, Lee?
Boy, well, Brandon just made me feel a little old here, so I'm gonna sort of.
Sorry about that.
No, that's fine.
Brandon
that's
made
fine.
Me feel real old when he told me, when he said the year he got out of school. And I'm like, oh man, I want to. Yeah, I'd like to go back there. Well, maybe not. I don't know. We'll see.
School was fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Because honestly, I don't remember having to follow Twitter or Facebook. It's sort of interesting. Years ago, you would go down to the coffee shop or the barbershop, like you said. That's where you'd sort of get your community news. Everyone was talking there. Now they're talking about it on the internet.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is that immediacy, and, you know, I think it's changed in that sort of, like you had indicated, John, sometimes you don't have, or maybe Brandon, that sometimes you don't have time to put out that full release, you know. I mean, it's the event's happening now. People want to know about it within an hour.
Right.
They don't want to wait till tomorrow, this afternoon. So you sort of have to figure a way, okay, how am I going to get this information out quicker.
Yeah. Well, one thing that I think from a definitely a pro side on social media for Parkside from our standpoint is that instead of, 18 years ago when I started here, which was before 2008, Brandon, if you're doing the math there. But,
good math.
Yeah. We're more relying on, well, how can we get this story to the Kenosha News? How can we get this story to the Journal Times? How can we get it to GTD? How can we get it? They got to get the story out for us. And now we're in a place saying, we still want to use those news outlets, and they're very important media partners for us, but we can share it on our Facebook page and put it on our Twitter account and put it on our LinkedIn. And granted, we're not reaching, 30,000 people the way a daily newspaper does in southeastern Wisconsin, but it's still reaching a substantial audience. So we need to be there and or that I shouldn't say need to be there. We want to be there because it's a way for us to get that information out as well.
No, I totally agree. That's something that we're big on. Posting on all our media channels, on all our social media channels, because that's just what the culture is currently. Mm-hmm. Social media, like everyone, my grandma, my grandfather, everyone, my little sisters, my little cousins.
Yeah.
From 5 years old to, 65 or so, everyone's on it. So you have to have a presence on there to be successful, because you never know, what type of impact of what you post can have on someone. Like, even if it's a grandparent, they may have a grandson or a granddaughter who may be looking for a school or, you never know. It's connected all across the world.
Right. Right. Yeah. And part of the social media side and the immediacy is that all three of us at some point, unfortunately, will have some sort of emergency news to get out, crisis communication to get out, and it's where the community is probably going to look to find out, what's going on, what's happening, and you're using it for that crisis or emergency communication as well.
I think it's a two-pronged approach. It's sort of back to the how do we get news out. I still believe in the traditional media route as well as social media. And I think you can have both. Because as Brandon had said, there are media outlets that once they also get it, they will also put it out on social media as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, but obviously when you're doing crisis communications, it's a university, there are students, there are family members, there's parents. And we have older folks, obviously. Our average age is about 28. So for every younger person, we have an older person. So, crisis communications is, I think it's changed in terms of how you get it out. I agree. Social media, on your website, through the internet, is an immediate way to get it out. And you have to get it out quickly, because people will follow other people. Well, hey, is this happening?
Right.
You want to make sure to get out your whatever the correct information is to the public, to your students, and to your staff as quickly as you can.
Yeah, you definitely want to get out that accurate message, because I guess the downfall of social media is that in crisis situations is so many people have Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat, and from their perspective, they could be tweeting, this is what's going on.
Right.
They could be putting out so much false information. So, obviously, you have to be strategic and timely with whatever you post, but you definitely want to get that accurate information out there, because there are times when, there may be a police car on campus, but they may just be, stopping by to get some coffee.
Mm-hmm.
But, someone can post that picture and be like, the police are on campus to arrest someone, and you just got to, make sure you get accurate.
Yeah, and I think harder to stay, when they say that, got to stay ahead of the story, right? Harder to do that when so many people can be contributing to the story on such a quick basis.
Absolutely.
Yep.
I don't know if this is a fair question or not, but I jotted it down, and we'll see if it's a fair question. Given that in this particular part of southeastern Wisconsin, Racine, Kenosha area, for a population of in the neighborhood of 200,000, give or take, with the cities and suburbs around, that no TV station, so this area is relying, either on Milwaukee TV or in the case of Kenosha, where, you know, for years, I mean, when I'm a little kid and I go visit my grandparents in Kenosha, they're watching Channel 5, Channel 7, Channel 9, Channel 2. I live in Racine, I'm watching Channel 4, Channel 6, Channel 12. So the difference, the divide between that Racine or Chicago-Milwaukee market was pretty interesting to me, that you didn't have to drive very far to get Chicago channels versus Milwaukee channels. But is this a little bit of a media desert, or is that a not fair label to put on this part of southeastern Wisconsin?
I think it is challenging for us, for all three schools, because of the distance. Because there's so much news going on in Milwaukee and Chicago, and it's easy for, you know, those media publications to fall into the black hole of sticking to the schools that are close by, you know, because it's convenient, you know, because there's so much news going on. Hey, let's go grab this professor from Marquette or UWM or Northwestern or Columbia, because they're so much close by. So with that, you know, it's challenging for us, but we, you know, we have to be more proactive. Like, in one thing that I, you know, implemented and started doing was, instead of depending on them to come to us, let's just go to them. Like, you know, when we're sending out information and they don't show up or something like that, like internally, you know, we depend on our students. Our staff isn't that big, so we have student video team and student photographers, so we get them to take photos and shoot some b-roll, get an interview, and we'll just send it to them. And, you know, you have it, so, you know, if it's still newsworthy enough, it's for you to use. And if you can't use it on air, or, you know, for radio, or if you can't use the photos for print, you can use it, you know, for your social media.
Right. Use it online. Use it there, right?
Yeah. So, but I do think it's challenging, because it's just, you know, 45 minutes, you know, that's a ways out, you know, especially if, you know, there was a breaking news story and they wanted to turn you around, you know. You know, it's kind of like, you know, yeah, this is a good story, but, you know, this is a good story too, but it's closer. So, you know, I guess it depends on the day for that. For the outlets.
Yeah.
I think that it it probably is, falls outside the reach of broadcast, TV broadcast from both angles. But I think that said, that, you know, our three county areas here of Walworth, Racine, and Kenosha still is a pretty rich place for local community journalism. I mean, we have a lot of, you know, very solid community journalists and media outlets, 16, as far as I can tell, you know, locally. So it's not really the reach or the impact that, you know, TV would have. But I think, though, that, you know, in terms of community journalism, I you know, I think this area is blessed. I mean, if you look at the outlets here locally, you know, they take to heart to try to get news what their local readers and you know, listeners want. So so whereas I agree with you in terms of that it's in between perhaps larger broadcast outlets, I think in terms of local community journalism, I think it's just fine and strong.
And I think you see the, looking at the, pick on the Journal Times and the Kenosha News, but their emphasis has, I think, continues to evolve toward more local news, because you can get the national and the world news, just, it's right here, you're holding it in your hand. I just took out my cell phone for
this radio,
see me on radio. But where do you get that local news as well? So yeah, that's an interesting thing to watch. I think those two are evolving, and as now that they're owned by the same company, you know, how will that evolution change or not change, given the ownership being the same for both? Okay, so we've got, like, I don't know, a couple minutes left in the program. We're looking at the time here, and we're close to our 30-minute time slot, which is always a little flexible here.
It's felt like 10 minutes. I feel like we got to keep on going.
I know. I always say, Derek has heard me say many times, when I look over and the time is flying by, that's when I go, this is a fun show, and the time is flying by. And I'm tempted not to ask this question because this show is being recorded a little bit in advance of May 21st when it will air, but can the Bucks win the NBA championship? They could be out by May 21st. Somebody could hear this and go, you guys are, but they also could be in and very much moving on. And they might run into the Philadelphia 76ers. Look at Brandon, who apparently is has ties to the Philadelphia area, correct?
Hey, you've done your research.
Thank you. Yeah.
Good journalist.
Well, Carthage does that. That was a nice website. They told a lot about you, and that's nice that they have it out there. So can the Bucks win the NBA championship?
Oh, my. Okay, so here's my straight take. You ready, John?
I'm ready. Yeah.
Okay, here it is. Yeah. I think they'll do well. I think I would feel more confident if we had the president, Malcolm Brogdon.
Yeah, I was going to say, which for a second there, I thought, I don't think you want him playing basketball, but that's okay.
Malcolm Brogdon in the lineup, I think if he, even at 80%, he helps them. He gives them a stronger, stronger backcourt, sort of that experience. I realize he'll be rusty, but I would just feel better if he were in the lineup. Clearly, at this point in time, they're up 3-1 on Boston. I guess we'll have to see when it airs where they'll be. But
right.
So was that waffling enough?
Or, no.
Yeah. I think if they have, I'll put it. I think if the Brogdon comes back, they go to the finals and win it in six.
Okay.
How's that?
So Brandon, right now, when we're recording this, Philly's 2-2 with the Raptors.
Yes, 2-2.
Yeah. So. Can Philly get past the Raptors? Do you think Philly gets past the Raptors, and do they meet the Bucks in the next round?
They could get past the Raptors, but if I don't know if they will, you know, to be honest with you, they're just an interesting team. You know, they have their star player. He has injury issues, and I think he's sick right now, like with the flu.
Mm.
And then our second star, he can't shoot, so. It's just a tough team to watch because you you don't know what to expect. Like sometimes they surprise you, and then sometimes they surprise you by losing a game that you think that they will win.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure, but to answer your first question, I do think the Bucks can win a championship simply because they have the best player in the East. I'm not there to say he's better than Kevin Durant because Kevin Durant is having a great basketball playoff as well, and James Harden, but. You know, from the East standpoint, I think they can definitely make it to the finals. And the NBA is really competitive this year. You know, I think in years past, with LeBron being in the East, you know, you kind of knew, you know, who was going to the finals or, you know, who would be those last four teams standing. But I feel like it's been, you know, really competitive this year. So I'm just excited to see how it all plays out because who would have thought that the Bucks would be up 3-1 after getting blown out, you know, in game one.
Yeah.
So. It happens just like that. You know, things change. So I'm just excited for some good basketball.
Yeah, I mean, even last night I was I watched a fair amount of Houston and Golden State. You know, it was an interesting game. You know, you say Kevin Durant was playing really well and Harden's playing well, and it was a very, very physical game. And I look at, you know, so far the Bucks-Celtics game or Bucks-Celtics series, excuse me, and – you know, prior to the series, if someone had said, well, I think George Hill, right, is going to be like this really important person, you might go, "What? Now, who is that? You know, who, and here's this bench player most of the time for the Bucks bench player who has been, he's been really strong, you know, and there's a guy that has stepped up when they needed somebody to step up when they didn't have like a Brogdon to come in. So we'll see. We'll have to listen on May 21st to see how the...
Well, wait a sec, John. You've got to give your prediction.
Sure.
Come on now. We laid it on the line, right?
I believe that they
did.
I believe that they can win the NBA championship because of their depth, that they seem to have, you know, like any player can... Last night when Giannis has to be out of the game and Middleton at the same time because of foul trouble... And you think, if I'm a Boston fan, I'm going, great, here we go. Nope. George Hill and other players step up, and all of a sudden it's like, wow, they extend their lead, and there's Giannis and Middleton sitting on the bench taking a rest for most of the third quarter, and they come in, and that made a huge difference. So, yes, I think they can. I think they will. I'm going to go out and say it. I think they will.
On record.
and if you know my predictions on sports, maybe I shouldn't have said that for the Bucks, because usually it's not that good. Anyway, so we've talked about a lot of things. I appreciate both of you coming in. Brandon Rook from Carthage College, Lee Colony from Gateway Technical College have been with me today on Parkside today, and appreciate both of you taking time. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, John. Thank you, John.